Hey everyone, welcome back to Heart Free Run's Impact 32 podcast. As many of you know, Heart Free Run is a network of over 100 different ministries, all working to spread the gospel in Iran, Afghanistan, and the region. One of our goals on this podcast is to keep you informed about what is happening in the nation of Iran. These are the reports we're not hearing about in the mainstream media, but I believe it's so vitally important for us to talk about and be aware of in order for us to know how to pray for these people, this nation, and for the underground church in Iran facing such persecution right now. So this is a unique episode today where we're going to be sharing current reports about what is happening in Iran and answer the questions, what is our response, and how is the Lord moving in the midst? I'm honored to have our president and CEO of Heart Free Run, Dr. Mike Ansari, with me today on the podcast to talk about these important topics. Mike, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Gillian, for inviting me to be here with you and your audience.
Yes, absolutely. It's so important for us to talk about these things. And so I would just want to dive in and give our audience the current reports of what we're seeing. We're seeing so many videos and so many pictures, and no one is really hearing about this. If you turn on your TV and you turn on your news stations, you're not going to hear about these stories. And so we want to give our audience the current situations that are happening right now. So one, what is the latest news that you're hearing coming from Iran?
For all the right reasons, the Western media right now is showcasing the challenges that the Western world is having with Iran. Right. And Iran is not popular. Iran is an instigator within the region and outside. And it's not a popular nation for people to want to get behind. However, our goal here at this podcast is to share with you guys that from a Christian perspective, the Muslims of Iran or the people of Iran are having dreams and visions still in 2024 about Jesus. Their lives are being transformed. Many Iranians are leaving Islam and coming to Christ. And this is a trend that has been going on for well over a decade, and we're still seeing that going strong. When you choose to put on God's spectacles, if that's what you decide to do, you realize that the news that is coming from Iran is actually very encouraging. People are asking a bigger question, that this is not the God, the spiritual life we wanted to sign up with. And when they find out about Jesus, they just come to him naturally. But along with that, gravitation towards conversion, towards Christianity has been an increase in persecution of Iranian Christians, new converts, and other minorities. In fact, in 2024, the United States Commission of International Religious Freedom tagged Iran as the third most religious, Iran has the third most religious prisoners of conscience behind only China and Russia, according to their report. And that is very alarming, because when you read reports like this, you realize that the pressure and the persecution that an average Iranian who chooses to convert to Christianity is very intense all across Iran. So it requires us to know about it, pray about it, and just ask God how we can partner with other organizations that are having a meaningful impact in Iran, so we could see continuation of this Holy Spirit movement.
There is a recent report of an Iranian Christian convert that was denied medical care in prison. A 60-year-old woman reported struggling with pain and unable to get access, and she's inside of Iran.
Yes, this report was generated by Barnabas 8 website back in April, and they're talking about a 60-year-old woman, Iranian woman named Mina Khajavi, who's struggling with pain and unable to access the necessary medical care inside Tehran's Evin prison. And she's a convert from Islam, has arthritis and walks with a limp, and is serving a 6-year sentence for acting against national security by promoting Zionist Christianity in her role in a house church. Folks, these charges are bogus. This Iranian lady had an encounter with Jesus, gave her heart to Christ, and had a house church. She was arrested and given a 6-year sentence. And being 60 years old and in Evin prison, one of the most notorious prisons across Iran and the Middle East, is not an easy place to be for a 60-year-old woman who has chosen to follow Jesus. And this gives us a reflection that despite the growth of Christianity in Iran, the persecution is very real. It is not easy. It is very dangerous for us, people like Mina, to come to Christ and be able to practice their faith. They cannot practice their faith like you and I have the freedom to do in the West. The Christian movement that is growing and thriving across Iran is very much underground. But the Iranian authorities and intelligence have the ears to any activity, anything at all that has to do with these house churches or groups. She began her sentence this year on January 3rd. She was arrested in 2020 and sentenced in 2022. However, she was not required to begin her sentence until she recovered after being run over by a car just before the sentence was due to start in summer of 2022. In that car accident, her ankle was badly broken, and she had to have metal plates in place. So now, inside prison, according to a source close to her family, Mina is still in pain but has not received adequate care. It is reported that the only treatment she has received has been occasional painkiller. We just wanted to bring highlights to the plight of this sister, this Iranian noble woman who is only guilty of wanting to follow Jesus.
Yeah. Wow. It's so sobering to hear about, and the fact that she's in her 60s too, it just breaks my heart that she's not getting the care that she needs. And it's truly sobering to hear about. The next story we have, the report is an Iranian Christian convert that was handed a 2-year prison sentence because she was connecting with a Christian organization. Can you tell us more about this?
That's right. This report also comes from Barnabas 8 on their website. Again, back from April of this year, the person in question, her name is Lala Saati. She's an Iranian Christian convert from Islam to Christianity. She's been sentenced to 2 years imprisonment for acting against national security by connecting with Zionist Christian organization. Again, that's another bogus charge. All it is Lala is guilty of deciding to exercise her free will to become a Christian. And just for doing that, and she was arrested and now she's serving 2-year sentence. On February 13th, Lala, who's 45 years old, was arrested at her father's house in Ekbatan, Tehran, and interrogated for 3 weeks at the notorious Evin prison. After searching the house, intelligence agents confiscated her mobile phone, a laptop, and several Christian books. During her detention, photographs and videos of her baptism in Malaysia and other Christian activities were identified as evidence of her crime. On March 16th, Lala appeared before a branch 26 of the Tehran Revolutionary Court, where she was sentenced to a 2-year imprisonment, with a further 2-year ban on leaving the country added to be effective upon her release. She had lived for some time in Malaysia before returning to Iran in 2017. Because of the length of time of her asylum process was taking, she had to come back to Iran to take care of her elderly parent. This goes to show again that people like Lale, a 45-year-old woman that should have the basic liberty and the right to choose and have religious freedom, she does not have that right. I want to take you back to 2,500 years ago when Cyrus the Great freed the Jews and said Christianity is respected. I'm sorry, not Christianity. Judaism is respected and allowed everybody within the Persian Empire to practice their faith freely. That country has gone so far back in recognizing and respecting the rights of individuals, where 2,500 years ago, their leader, Cyrus the Great, offered the world. And that backstepping is something that Iranian people do not want to see. They don't want to subscribe to. They want to be able to be free to exercise their freedom to do as they wish and they please. We are praying for Laleh, and we ask you to pray for Laleh. Heart for Iran is involved in podcasts like this to be able to showcase the plight of these innocent converts. So we ask you to please lift up Laleh Saati in your prayers.
Right. And the fact that it was acting against national security just for converting to Christianity is just so hard for us to grasp. I feel like in our Western society that we have the freedom to worship and pray to who we want to pray to. And for them, it's a fact of national security because
That's right.
She's baptized and she's converted. And all of a sudden she's 2 years imprisoned. And I feel like if we heard about that today in the States, there would be an uproar because it just wouldn't happen. And the fact that it's a normal thing for them just blows my mind.
And you're talking about something very interesting because it brings up the conversation of the conscience, the Christian conscience.
Right.
As Christians, regardless where we are, we could be in America, we could be in Europe, we could be in Middle East. Whenever we see atrocities against other believers, we do have the commission to stand and pray for them. That's the very least that we all should do. We also should get involved in advocacy, in bringing our church and our community to pray for other fellow believers. When Laleh became a believer, she is a part of the body of Christ. She is our sister. Doesn't matter if she's in Iran, in Afghanistan, in Malaysia, she has become a part of the global community of body of believers. And it is our responsibility to take on her cause and be able to advocate for her. They said that the evidence of her alleged actions against national security, this is from the article in Barnabas 8, it says, evidence of her alleged actions against national security included involvement in house church since returning to Iran, and Christian activities in Malaysia, including her baptism discovered on her mobile phone. So it brings up a couple of points here. Number one is that it is illegal for people to have a house church.
Yeah.
But I want to share with our audience that there are thousands of house churches, secret house churches, underground house churches across Iran, and Christianity is growing and thriving. Why else would Iranian authorities invest so much resources and funding, manpower to identify and persecute and threaten and prison these people? Number two, they're saying that they have followed her activities in Malaysia. Iranian apparatus, intelligence apparatus, is following its own citizens in diaspora to see if they are part of any group or organization that could weaken their institution. And it's very interesting because they're not afraid to wage activities outside of Iran to quiet anyone that they see as an opponent. I want to bring your attention to Associated Press and the World News section. They had an article that was released on May 6th, just a couple of days ago.
Okay, yeah.
And it says, as Iran hunts for dissidents in U.S., the FBI is racing to counter the threat. The article goes on and it says that, there's a reflection of the extreme measures taken by Iran and other countries to intimidate and harass and sometimes even plot attacks against political opponents and activists who live in the U.S. They show the frightening consequences that geopolitical tension can have for ordinary citizens like you and I, like Laleh. As governments historically intolerant of dissident inside their own borders are now increasingly keeping a threatening watch on those who speak out thousands of miles away, meaning they feel that it is okay. They take on the liberty to harass, intimidate, and even threaten to kill and assassinate anyone that speaks against them. And it's one thing for them to silence the voices of people in their own country. Right. It's another thing for them to silence the voices of any of the critics in US. And that is something that unfortunately is being observed more and more.
Right. They're not just focusing on their own people. They're going above and beyond to create this atmosphere of fear and to threaten not just their lives, but their families' lives and the people that they love. I mean, that is just so extreme. And like you said, this woman is now our sister in Christ. And in the same way that we lift up our friends and our churches and our families in prayer, that's why it's so important for us to know about these situations, because we need to be standing with them and praying with them wherever they are, because they are our brothers and sisters. You spoke about the house church. There's another report of an Iranian authorities again charge an active house church member. This is not just the first time, but he's being charged again. Just recently, this report came out. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
That's right. Persecution.org, International Christian Concerns website, released a report on May the 3rd of this month, this year, 2024. And they said that on March 11th, just a month or so ago, Iranian authorities charged House Church member Shahab Shahi with propaganda against the Islamic regime. Mm. He recently appeared at the Revolutionary Court in Karaj, city of Karaj, and is waiting a second and final hearing at the sixth branch of the court. And, they said that he has served 4 months in prison in 2019 on the same charge. So they rearrested him in December of 2023, along with some other house church members, one of them called Mila, the other one called Ali Reza, and others as well. And his brother was arrested as well. And they have all previously served time in prison for the Christian faith. So here's an example of a brother who became a Christian in Iran. In 2019, he was arrested along with some other people. Yeah. And then he was rearrested again in 2023. What does that show? That shows the resilience of people who find light and hope.
Right.
Most people in Iran are hopeless. An average individual in the country of Iran is searching for a new meaning of hope. The youth, there is unemployment, there is drug addiction, there is oppression. The morality police are striking women on the streets publicly. Mm. And the basic civil liberties that most people across the world enjoy has been stripped from them in the country of Iran. Under the guise of religious practice. So therefore, when somebody walks away from fear, intimidation, and darkness into light and hope, they latch onto it. They don't want to let go. Yeah. What we see here is an example of a group of men, Iranian men that left Islam for Christianity. They were arrested. They served time in prison. They were released. They did not recant. They continued again, and they got rearrested again. So, what waits for them is unknown. We do need to pray for them. And I want to urge anyone who's listening to this program to gather your family around, gather your friends around. If you have a prayer group, gather them around. Bring this to your church. Talk to your senior leadership. Talk to your church groups. Talk to any organization that will listen. Bring it up to to the politicians in your area, your congressmen, your congresswomen, your senators. Advocacy, grassroots advocacy starts when you and I take on the cause of one of the people that does not have any representation. Yes. Jesus left 99 sheep to attend to one. Mm. That is a good example for us as the church. There is an ethical and moral Christian responsibility that Jesus gives you and I, and that is to stand in a gap. It starts with the prayer.
Yes.
We invite you to pray for for our brothers and sisters in Iran that are systematically being arrested, imprisoned, persecuted, just because they were part of a house church.
Yes, absolutely. That is such a charge for all of us listening. The last thing I want to talk about before we get into what our response can be is there was a report that was published just this week that tells us the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom has once again recommended that Iran be redesignated a country of particular concern for engaging in systematic, ongoing, and egregious violations of religious freedom. This is a cry that can we please focus on Iran? Can we please turn our eyes and turn our concern to do something about the nation of Iran and what is going on? And this is a matter of national concern. This is a matter of global concern on religious freedom. It's something that we get to experience, but a lot of people that we're going through, we're listening today, we're reading the reports that people are under such oppression and under such persecution of being imprisoned, of being killed, of being arrested, of being detained for the simple things that we get to experience here. And so this is such, reading this is a cry, and it's really something we want to focus on today of the people listening. Would you please turn your hearts and turn your eyes and ears to the nation of Iran, of what's happening in the midst? Mike, there is a lot of news that we've been focusing on today, and it can be very discouraging. It can be very disheartening. And like you said, a lot of Iranians are hopeless. And listening to this, we can start to think, where is the hope? Where is God in all of this? How is he moving? Can you give us a little bit of insight in what is the Lord doing in the midst of all of this?
Absolutely. Let me go back to the comment that you had in this section, talking about the report, the International Religious Freedom report that came out.
Yeah.
Nobody should ever force their religion or their views upon others.
Mm-hmm.
We have been raised in a society that respects people's freedom of speech, freedom of religion. However, when you also take a look at the Christian tenets, you realize that in the Bible, Jesus says, "I stand and knock on your door until you open." He didn't say, "I'll break the door down and I come in there and I'm going to keep you hostage because you have to listen to me." No, he's a gentleman.
Right.
He's saying you have a personal choice. So when we hear the level of violation of basic human rights, Article 18 of United Nations talks about the religious freedom that everybody should have. They don't. In Iran, that doesn't exist. It brings us to a place of potential hopelessness. Mm-hmm. What is happening, Lord, in the world? What is going on? I want to share with you that if we continue looking at things from the side of or the perspective of the bad news that comes out, we will no doubt be depressed. We'll just not even want to come out of our room. But God in his grace, God in his divine design wants to encourage you and I. And he wants us to be a part of his great commission. The great commission is still very much alive and very much a biblical commission that you and I and all of us who have received Jesus as our Savior have.
Yes.
And that is to go to all the world and proclaim Jesus and baptize in his name.
Mm.
So the news that is coming out of Iran is one of encouragement. Despite these dark days of political uncertainty across the entire region, again, I want to invite you to take a look at how Jesus is moving across this very difficult region, and lives are being touched, hearts are being transformed, the families are getting to know about Jesus, Jesus is building his church in the hearts and in the families across Iran. We have no idea how many churches, underground churches, exist in Iran. The report that we hear is that they are in their thousands.
Yeah.
The report that we have is that the vast majority of the underground churches are being run by Iranian women.
Wow.
We see in the news a comparison between Iranian women, how they were 40 years ago before revolution. They were free, they were open, no hijab, and now how they are now.
Wow.
We get reports of how these days, especially, Iranian authorities have waged a war on Iranian women. In fact, Amnesty Iran has released a news post. They said urgent action. They said Iranian authorities are waging a war on women through subjecting women and girls to violence and harassment in public places amid an intensified enforcement of the compulsory veiling laws. On one hand, they say, "No, well, you have freedom," but on the other hand, they're on the streets. And they are subjecting women and girls into violence.
Wow.
And there are videos that are being published. There are pictures that are coming out, people spying on each other. Mm. And yet, God is moving in Iran.
Yeah.
In the middle of darkness, in the middle of hopelessness, that beacon of light is shining strong in the hearts of people.
Yeah.
A heart for Iran. We are blessed to be able to have a call center that complements our 24/7 satellite programming in Farsi into the region. Scores of Iranians call us every day. Vast majority of them say, "Look, before I started watching your program, I had a dream or I had a vision about Jesus. Tell me more about Jesus."
Yeah.
Or my mother had a dream, or my sister had a dream. That's Book of Acts. Where right. People get to have dreams and visions. And now we're experiencing that. People are calling our call center. They're saying, "What can I do? Can you send me a Bible? Can you tell me more about Jesus?" Jesus is building his church. That is for you and I to be encouraged about. The persecution is very real in Iran.
Yes.
It is a dangerous place. Bibles are illegal.
Mm-hmm.
It's forbidden for Muslims to become Christian. They're put in jail. Some other people, like a gentleman named Ismail Narimanpour, who was a Christian convert arrested at Christmas, he was released on bail after 4 months, but he was forced to undergo religious re-education. He was one of the 46 Christians arrested during a renewed crackdown on the house churches across Iran. So that despite the religious re-education that Iranian authorities want to force people into, people are still saying, "Look, I have found the light. I don't want to go back into darkness."
Yeah.
So the news from Iran is extremely encouraging. But we do need to come together to take part on being an advocate and a moving force and a prayer for partner for the Great Commission to be fulfilled, not only in Iran, but in the entire region.
Yes. Yes, God is building his church in Iran, and we are seeing that day by day. We're getting these reports that are disheartening, but we're also getting good reports of people whose lives are being changed, and they're getting connected with house churches and with other believers, and the church is only growing. For those listening, I hope you know, and I don't know if you do know, that Iran is the fastest growing underground church in the world right now. And that is such a good report. And we thank God for that. And our heart is for these people and to support them and to continue to help it grow in any way that we can. As this news is coming in, I think a lot of our thought is, what can we do? What can be done? It is discouraging in a way, but it's also encouraging that the Lord is moving. And our thought is, how can we be a part of what the Lord is doing? Mike, can you give us a couple just practical ways that people can get involved in what the Lord is doing and what our ministry is doing as well?
The very first thing that we can do is to be able to reach to our churches.
Yeah.
We'll be more than happy if you invite us to come to your church. We'll come to your church and talk to your church leadership and your church members. The Bible talks about the fact that it says, my people will perish for lack of knowledge. It is important for the church to understand what is happening in restricted regions and rally up the members to pray. So the first thing that we would like to encourage you to, if this program that you're listening to is having any value for you, reach out to us. We have prayer guides that we can send you so you could pray in accuracy. You could take those prayer guides to your church, to your group, to your family,
Yes.
your friends. As I shared with you, we would love to come to your church. We would love to go ahead and share with you some amazing testimonies that even bring with us some of those converts that have managed to leave Iran and come here. Some of them actually work with us. We'd be more than happy to bring him to your church, and maybe you could dedicate a weekend of prayer for the persecuted church.
Yes.
Contact us. We would love to partner with you on that. The other thing that you can do is you can mobilize prayer groups to pray for restricted regions, for persecution that is going on. We are focusing on Iran, but it is important to say that the Christians around the globe are being persecuted. So it is our responsibility to adopt potentially a nation, a people group, an unreached people group, and be able to pray for them intentionally. The other thing that you can do is you could help with your support. God's work is not a popular work for many people to fund. Most of the funding goes towards special interest groups or other things. But it is not cheap to be able to send a Bible into Iran to the hands of people like Layla, or others that want to find out more about Jesus. But the opportunity is there. So we want to ask you and urge you to financially partner with us to be able to help bring the gospel and help train these people across the country of Iran. Finally, the other thing that I wanted to share with you is we have a unique resource called Reaching the Muslim Next Door. And we're realizing that a lot of these noble people from the Middle East, in search for hope and better life, are finding US to be their new home. Yet we're realizing that many of them, although they are in walking distance to our homes and our churches, are not integrating into our church, into our society. Well, we have a half a day little training for churches that we provide. Again, it's called Reaching the Muslim Next Door, where we stand next to you. And we share with you guys about how the cultural views and the worldviews really are the biggest components of being understood or misunderstood, and how to create a bridge to seamlessly and genuinely connect with the people from Middle East. The people that are living in our neighborhoods in America are noble people. They are good people. Let's embrace them and let's share the gospel with them, because Jesus loved everyone.
Yes, absolutely. Mike, these are such good resources and such good steps of action that we can take to really just partner, even just with our ministry, but also just partner with what the Lord is doing in the Middle East, but also here in the United States. We have brothers and sisters right down the street from us that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we want to empower you and equip you to carry that out, even just in your own neighborhood, just in your own churches. So, Mike, thank you so much for joining me today, for being here, for providing all the insight you did and the information that you gave us. I so appreciate you being here with me.
It's my pleasure. I really hope that if your audience find this helpful, to they will subscribe and they will join us for future podcasts, where we'll be able to dive into what really matters on a daily basis in the international policy and Iran, and how we could intentionally stand in the gap and pray. Thank you so much
Yes.
for inviting me.
Yes, absolutely. And for those tuning in, we just want to say thank you for joining us for this episode. We would love to stay connected with you. We gave you a lot of information and a lot of resources. And if you want to know more about that, you can contact us and connect with us. You can visit us online at heartforiran.com or on social media. Follow us at heartforiran. Or if you have any questions or comments or anything like that, please feel free to email us. You can email us at info@heartforiran.com. at heartfreerun.com, and we would love to be connected with you. So we hope that you enjoyed this episode, and stay tuned for what's to come on the Impact 32 podcast.